John chapter 1 in your Bibles this evening. That's a tremendous thought from the scripture, isn't it? Have you ever thought about, imagined what it was like for Mary and Joseph? That day or few days likely that they made the trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem as she's in the advanced stage of pregnancy, and they go from place to place in Bethlehem looking for a place to stay. And I imagine there are some avenues of thought that believe that somehow Mary's pregnancy and delivery and all that were outside the realm of normal. Now, certainly the conception was anything but normal, wasn't it? It was supernatural. But I imagine that as Joseph and Mary were looking for a place to stay, that Mary was enduring the early signs of labor, experiencing contractions, and frankly uncomfortable and in pain. And as they made their home in that stable in Bethlehem and got as comfortable as they could, and Mary went through that process of delivering the Christ child into the world, I imagine that Jesus was born, and I don't think that he was delivered with a smile on his face and a heavenly glow about him. I think it was probably, ladies, the same thing that you experienced when you gave birth to your children, those of you who are mothers. I imagine that Joseph experienced the same type of emotions and reactions that those of us who are fathers in this auditorium or listening or watching experienced when our loved one gave birth to our children. I can imagine that as Jesus progressed in life, that Mary and Joseph endured what Stephanie and I are enduring right now with Adeline, the teething stage. It wasn't terribly exciting for Dad and Mom. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth and was completely man. Doesn't the scripture tell us that Jesus took upon himself all the frailties of human flesh? He endured pain. He endured hunger. He endured thirst. He endured being sleepy and weary. He endured grief. I'm sure when his earthly father Joseph passed away, there was hurt and heartache in his heart, just as was true when his friend Lazarus passed away, even though he knew he would raise him back to life. It's an amazing thought, one that is difficult to wrap our minds around. These finite minds cannot comprehend, because when we think of something being complete, if I can put it in these terms, when we think of something being 100% full, complete, whole, it's not 100% this and we think of 50-50 or 25-75 or whatever the breakdown is. But the reality that the scripture teaches us, the big theological term we use is the hypostatic union. And all it simply means is that while Jesus was here in this world, he was conceived in the womb of Mary, delivered by normal processes, grew up as an infant, as a toddler, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult. He was all man and still all God. Can you explain that to me? Illustrate it for me. Find something in your personal experience or in creation around you that can accurately and properly illustrate that reality. And yet, it's what the Bible teaches. You know, as you go to the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four gospels, they don't teach four different gospels. They are the record of one gospel given, if you will, from four perspectives. Some, Matthew and John, were personal eyewitnesses. They were disciples of the Lord Jesus. Not, as far as we know, a personal eyewitness, but he was one who walked with the Apostle Paul and heard the message of Jesus over and over again from the Apostle Paul and from those who were eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. But each one gives a little bit of a different perspective on who Jesus was. Matthew's gospel opens with genealogies, followed by Joseph's visit from a heavenly visitor. Matthew focuses on showing how Jesus came from Abraham through David, signifying that he was the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, and that is Matthew's focus throughout his gospel. Mark's gospel opens with Jesus bursting on the scene in power. He's already an adult, healing and doing great works of power. But he also shows that Jesus came from Nazareth. And as we know, even some of Jesus' followers, when they first heard, said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He demonstrates that Jesus was a servant. Luke's gospel opens with the announcements of the births of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. He also gives a genealogy of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. However, he shows how Jesus came from Adam through Mary, signifying that Jesus is the second Adam, the perfect Adam, and that he was virgin born according to the prophecy of the Old Testament. John's gospel is very different, as we find throughout his gospel. As John opens his gospel, the penman makes a profound assertion at the very start that since the very beginning of time, and even before time, there was an entity in existence known as the Word. And this Word, as we see a few verses later, is the only Son of God, Jesus. Jesus came from heaven. He is God. And as we think about the Christmas story, it is fascinating to recognize that Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. As I was studying earlier this week, the song that Gabe sang tonight that I didn't know he was going to sing. Came to my mind. Mark Lowry, who wrote that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" portrayed it so well. That last verse, he wrote, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. It's hard for us to understand that, isn't it? I mean, he wrote the sleeping child. He could have wrote the crying child. Maybe even the screaming child. The hungry child. That one who slept on a boat as his disciples were rowing across the sea. That one who told his disciples after they heard the bad news of John the Baptist being arrested and then beheaded, after days of ministry, told his disciples, "Let's come away for a while and rest. Let's go on a vacation." That one who got lost as a 12-year-old boy. Well, at least that's what Mary and Joseph thought, that he was lost. Got separated from his family. They began the journey back, and like any of us who have ever left our children somewhere and didn't realize it at first, started to panic a little bit, came to Jerusalem, and for 3 days they searched for him. That one who certainly worked alongside his earthly father in the carpentry shop, learning the craft, learning the tools, having his earthly father tell him, "Jesus, do it this way, carve it this way, attach it together this way." I mean, you want to talk about insecurity as parents, try raising God. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around, isn't it? And yet that's the Bible reality. The entirety of John's gospel demonstrates this truth over and over again, that this one is the very Son of God. Over the next few weeks, I'd like us to consider from the first chapter of the gospel according to John, this truth of Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus among us. Tonight, I'd like you to follow along as I read the first 5 verses. Notice what the Bible says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Notice how the passage begins, how it opens. In the beginning was the Word. You know, the whole of Scripture opens with this declaration: in the beginning, God. If we could go back to the vastness that was eternity past, which in and of itself is difficult for us to understand and comprehend, but if we could go back before any of God's creative acts, before there was a sun and a moon and stars, before there was an earth, before the 9 planets of our solar system began orbiting our sun, which is just one of an innumerable multitude of stars, in what we are finding more and more is one of an innumerable number of solar systems, in a vast universe that we cannot even see with the best technology to the end to. If we can go back to that time when none of it existed, do you know what we would find? Genesis says we'd find God. He was there. He was present. He was existing. But beyond that, John says, we'd find the Word. An early professing believer who was known for some false teaching, one named Arius, claimed about the Word of John 1, there was once when he was not. But John is in disagreement with that statement. Just as Genesis proclaims in the beginning God, John proclaims in the beginning was the Word. In that time of eternity past, the vastness of that time, however you can measure time in eternity, before anything that God created was created, if you could go back to that place, back to that time in history, back to that point, before anything was, the Word was already there in existence. Let's reflect for a moment on the identification word for a few moments. This term translates from the Greek word logos and was important to both the Jewish and the Greek mind. The Jewish mind saw the Word of God as synonymous with God. In fact, it could almost be a name or a title. At times in the Old Testament, when you find Word of God, they see it perhaps not as we think of it. When you and I use that term Word of God, we think of this book that we hold in our hand. We call it the Bible, the Scripture, the Word of God. But to the Jewish mind, the Word of God was not the Decalogue. It wasn't the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. It wasn't the law. Many times when the Jewish mind thought in those terms, the Word of God, it was synonymous with God. If we could put it in an equation form, the Word of God equals God. In the Greek mind, this word logos was thought of the reason or the power behind everything. You know, of course, Greek culture is known for philosophy. Great philosophers like Plato and Aristotle and Socrates all came out of the Greek culture and society. And when they spoke in terms of logos, this was the power behind everything, the reason behind everything. And ultimately, getting to that place of understanding was the supreme goal and high goal or cause of man. And so, regardless of who his audience was, John spoke to everyone listening about this one who was thought about, had been spoken about, had been written about. And he says, I'm going to reveal to you who this is and the truth about this one. The Word was not only eternally self-existent, not only present with God, but was in very truth God himself. You look back there to John 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, eternally self-existent, was already present in eternity past. The Word was with God. There is that sense of the Word being present with God. But then John says, and the Word was God. The Word is God himself. By the time John closes his introduction to this book, only one conclusion is possible. The Word is Jesus. And so as you and I sit here approaching Christmas 2021, we've heard it if we've been around church for any length of time, but what a reminder for us as we celebrate the one who came to this earth to give himself for us. What a reminder it is that Jesus, the Word, is God. When we reflect on this truth, three applications come to the surface. Number one, Jesus is God. But I would hasten to also say this, the best way to know God the Father is to know Jesus. The book of Hebrews declares to us that Jesus is the express image of his person. He is the express image of the Father. He is, in essence, a replication. He is the image. He is the model. He is the presentation of who God is. When you and I look to the Gospels and we read about the life of Jesus Christ, we read about his heart for people, we read about the good that he did, we read about the teachings that he taught, we read about how he was willing to lay down himself for us. Understand that everything Jesus did, everything he proclaimed, everything he reflected was the heart and the thought and the message of God the Father to you and to me. The best way to know God the Father is to know Jesus. But then we're also introduced in the New Testament to the triune nature of God. How could the Word be both present with God and also God? Because we believe that our God is one God, one in nature, one in essence, three in persons, three in function, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, each equally God. As John continues to speak to us about the Word, there are three activities in this text that John highlights that I want you to see with me. Number one, he created all things. Verse number three, again, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, who is John speaking about? When he uses that pronoun him, what is the antecedent? The Word. The Word who is God. And the Word is whom? Jesus. So when John says in verse number three, all things were made by him, whose name could we put in the place of him? Jesus. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. The Bible tells us clearly that God spoke the world into existence by the Son. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 15 through 17, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Again, as Hebrews says, he's the express image of God, the express image of the Father. He is the replication of God the Father to man. Colossians says, who, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. Hebrews 1, 2. God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. John, as he speaks to us about the Word, Jesus, who is God, Jesus, who came to this earth as a babe, as an infant, who grew into a toddler, who grew into a child, who grew into a teenager, who grew into a young adult and then an adult, Jesus, all man, yet all God, he's the creator of all things. Notice secondly, he gives life. Verse number 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Friends, understand this evening. The Bible teaches us the truth that Jesus is the source of all life. As you and I sit here this evening, breathing, you might have heard someone say something to this effect before. You are breathing God's air. How true it is. Because apart from him, you would have no life. Apart from his power, his enabling, his animating, you would have no life whatsoever. He is the source of all life. Acts 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We are the created beings of God, made after his own image. Do you remember in the creation story, the Bible tells us that God personally breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Apart from God, Jesus Christ specifically, we would have no life. We could not breathe. Our hearts would not beat. Our minds and our nervous system could not produce all of what they need to produce for us to exist apart from him. But friends, even more importantly, apart from him, we have no opportunity for spiritual life. Jesus said to the sister of Lazarus in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now you say, but I've known some people who believe in Jesus who have died. Well, you understand that for the believer, death is not a conclusion. Death is simply a transition. Death is simply a doorway. Death is simply a passageway through which we walk from this life into our eternal life. As the book of Ecclesiastes says, we leave this short home, this temporary place, for our long home, for our eternal home. And that life is found only in Jesus, that one who came as an infant, who lived with the frailties of existence that you and I live with, and yet was all God. He's the one who gives life. And then would you notice, thirdly, in verse number 5, he gives light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Bible is clear that apart from Jesus, man dwells in darkness. What is darkness? Is it simply an absence of light in the sense of a dark room? Darkness is a place of misery, a place of deception, a place of death. The Bible declares to us over and over again that that is the place where you and I live. That is the place where we exist apart from Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 through 80, as Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was animated by the Holy Ghost, spoke of the ministry of both his son and the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he declared that Jesus would come as one to bring light to those who sit in darkness. John chapter 3, as the Bible, Jesus himself is speaking, declaring about God sending his son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He tells us that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But then he said this, and light is come into the darkness. Light is come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. How sad it is to think that humanity in his natural self frankly loves his place of misery and loves his place of deception and loves his place of death. But Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2 that Jesus changes all of that. That when we come to Jesus Christ, this one who came and lived among us, who walked among us, all man and yet all God, brings life to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, living in that place of misery, living in that place of deception, living in that place of death. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Jesus gives light. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the God of this world blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. When we think about this season, we should come in recognition that Jesus came, a baby lying in a manger in an animal barn, that stable. Jesus, who walked among us, who lived as us, who entered this world of brokenness, and even endured that brokenness, stepped into our world, living completely as man, and yet completely as God. In doing so, Jesus showed us how to live. He sacrificed his life to bring us everlasting life. And he provides us with himself to help us through life. Do you understand today? What does Hebrews chapter 4 tell us? We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Our English grammar doesn't like that language. We could say it this way. We have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, being tempted in all points like as we are. He endured all the frailties of humanity because he took upon himself the form of a man, and yet living completely as man, he was completely God. He showed us how to live life. He sacrificed his life to bring us eternal life, and he provides us with himself to help us through life. What we believe about Jesus, who he is, his nature, is a question worth wrestling over as we prepare for this holiday season. In just a few short weeks, the main event, Christmas Day, will be upon us. Most, if not all of us, are probably already beginning to prepare. You've got decorations up in your home, outside your home. Maybe you even have a couple of gifts wrapped and under the tree. We've begun decorating. We've perhaps made plans to go see some shows, visit family, to go shopping, schedule holiday dinners. What is it all for? Is it simply cultural tradition that we have bought into, or is there something deeper than the glitz and the glamour of this season? Is it about a God who entered our world and took on flesh for the sake of our salvation? John presents us with a choice. What are you going to reflect on and focus on? It's why these verses are still so relevant to us. As the Christmas carol declares that we sang this morning, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him." Jesus, all man, yet all God. I wonder, will he be the one we adore this Christmas season? As you think about how you're going to celebrate and spend this time of the year, as you think about perhaps something along these lines, who would you most like to see and spend time with this season? I wonder if we'll spend time coming and adoring Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time spent here worshiping you and in your word this evening. Thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. Thank you for Jesus, for who he is. Thank you for the reality that he did come and live as man, and yet was and is all God. I pray and ask that we would follow Jesus' example. He showed us how to live. He gave his life that we might have eternal life. And I pray if there's someone here who does not know Jesus as Savior, that they would trust him today. And you came, and today you provide us with yourself to help us through life, Lord, as we go through challenges and difficulties. Help us to trust you, depend upon your resources to help us through the challenges of life. Lord, I pray this Christmas season that we would come and adore Jesus, that worshiping him would be a focus this time of the year. And we will be sure to praise and thank you for what you will do in our lives. In Jesus' name,